Rob. Romans 6, 10, 6 to 18. That's what we're talking about today, what we're reading, which ties in with everything that we've been reading about, learning about, sharing about in Romans the last few weeks. There's been a lot of conversation about Romans, tons. And it's quite fitting because it's an amazing belief and understanding to come to. Let's just read. Let me start by reading. I'll start at 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks this way. So take note, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How amazing that is. Do we truly believe in what Jesus has done for us? Is it in your heart? Is it in your mind? Is it in your soul? In order to believe that Jesus has done that, he has relieved us from the condemnation of sin, brought us back to life, made us right with God, not because we have done anything to deserve it. This is something we hear every week, every Sunday, every time we read the Bible, we hear the same declaration. Do we truly believe it? Do we believe that we have to do something for God to love us? Do you have to do anything? No. There's no works. There's no action. There's no striving. There's no thing that you can do that will ever make you right with God, other than the fact that you believe that Jesus is our propitiation for sin. When this comes into your understanding, into your heart, and you truly believe that this is the case, now the journey begins. The life of a child of God starts to grow. It is truly amazing. We have words like sanctification, words like righteousness, words like adoption that we cling to because these words give us a place. That before we understood this, we were lost. We didn't understand. We were lost. And what good news it is, the gospel that we sing. You know, the song that we just sang with the kids, walk in it, breathe in it, live. Everything we do, live in the gospel. Live in the gospel. The gospel is the good news. What did Rob say? If you want to get to know Jesus more, if you want to live in the good news, what do you know? Where do you go? What do you do? What did he hold up? The Bible. So we believe and we know that salvation belongs to God, and Jesus lays down his life for us. God became man in the flesh. Jesus is God in the flesh. How amazing is this? We believe. We believe. Where does it lead us? Let me share. It leads us to a belief that we no longer have to do anything, right? We don't say in our heart who will ascend to heaven and who will go down to the abyss. That is to bring Christ down from heaven, or that is to bring Christ up from the dead. You see, the righteousness in the beginning, that it said the righteousness, refers to a right relationship with God. Being right with God. Do you make yourself right with God? It's his righteousness. You see, these questions that we may ask, who will go to heaven and who will go to heaven, is that if we ask these questions, our belief is not based on faith in Jesus, it is based on our own works. We think that we can do something to take ourselves to heaven. And we can't. See, righteousness before God is based on faith alone. That's it. And it doesn't require extraordinary, extravagant efforts. It doesn't. See, the justification that Jesus has done for us and in us by faith is not by efforts, as if we must mount some way to get to heaven, because Jesus has already come down from heaven and fulfilled everything that needs to be done. Laid down his life, washed us clean, paid the price, redeemed us from our sin. Do you really believe this? Do you really believe it? Because when you believe it, it puts a smile on your face. It takes something that lost, that desperation, that no matter how hard you try, you can't get it right. We know that the Jews based their whole relationship. You know, the Jews had a very strong zeal for God. They were so zealous that they adopted these laws and all these ways, and they worked their whole lives to try and perform. To try and perform their way to heaven, to make themselves right with God. To make themselves right with God. And they couldn't do it. See, nobody ever has been able to do it, and nobody ever will be able to do it, other than the perfect life that is right with God, that paid the price for our sin. It's very deep, isn't it? But see, that realization, it is sometimes confronting, because, you know, I can go to church and I can do the right thing, and I can do the things that I need to do. And don't get me wrong, it's not that there's nothing for us to do as Christians and as children of God. But it's turned on its head. It's not what you do that makes you right with God. It's what God has done that makes you right with God. And then we hear a scripture, because now we believe in Christ and he is so close in our hearts, and we've gotten to know him. And as we just said at the start, we really got to know him, and we believe now in his word, the gospel. And he says, faith without works is dead. But there's nothing we can do. There's no works that we can do. This is what you said, Jesus. Why do I? Whose works? Is it your works? It's his works. Faith without his works is dead. Now, if you're wondering where you're at, how far, how faithful, how much you believe in Christ, has the depth really come into your heart, you can look at how your life is. Not so that you can start weighing and measuring and adding up what you do, but how much God is working in your life and how much faith that you truly do have in him. How deep, how much faith do I have in Christ? Jesus said to his disciples in the early days when he was walking with them, he says, you have little faith. Do you not believe? But he didn't tell them they had no faith, did he? He didn't say, you don't believe anything. He said, you have little faith. How much faith? How much do you believe? Enough to walk in it, talk in it, live in it, breathe in it, speak about it every opportunity you get? Is that where you want to be? Is this where we want to be? This is sanctification. Do we present ourselves to God? Do we worship God? Do we give God all the glory for everything that we are, who we are, what we have? Everything is a glory to God? Or do we try to own some of it? We only love because God loves us first. This is one of my favorites, to help people understand that you think you love your husband because you're good, you love him. You only know that love because God created you with that love. We love because God loved us first. What a declaration. But I love you. I love you all. I love you. Yeah, but that love is really not love until God gets the glory for it. It's God's love in us. This is exactly what it's saying, is God's works in us. Now, when we truly believe in that, the Holy Spirit helps us understand the heights, the width, the breadth, the depths of Jesus, how supreme God is as the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, always has been, always will be. In the form of Jesus, in the form of a man, he is God. And there is a satisfaction that comes into it, that it is well with your soul. It all sits very, very well with you. And you stop struggling with the fact that there's nothing I can do. And as I talk to people in the world and in our community, and don't get me wrong, there's some nice people, lovely people, morally correct people, caring, loving, generous, funny. Yeah, get a bit of a giggle out of them sometimes. That truly believe that it is what they do that makes them right. You've got one person that says, yeah, I believe in the big fella. I believe in God. But do you believe that you're no good? And that you're a sinner? No. The funny thing is some people say, yeah, I'm a sinner, but I can change. I'm working on it. I understand what my problems are, and I try harder, you know. I don't swear as much as I used to anymore. I don't lie. I hate lies, they say. What they don't understand is that none of that is taken away from you. None of that is in any of your control or ability until you rely on Jesus, until you believe in Jesus Christ. And this is why we struggle, when things will not go our way, because we own it. You don't truly believe. And I want to encourage you to truly believe, just like we've just read in the first six verses. That message is the most powerful message in the world. It is the best message in the world. It is the gospel. Salvation belongs to God. Let it go. Let it go. But now here's the kicker. You start doing the good that you do, you give the glory to God. All honor and glory and praise and worship goes to God for it. And the Spirit fills you. You become a new creation. You change. He molds you. He prunes you. He is the potter. He is the clay. And all those definitions, those declarations, and everything that he says that you are become joyful to understand, becomes a blessing to believe in, and you're okay with it. Some people are fearful of not being themselves. If I become a Christian, I've got to do everything that I'm told. They lose their identity. Well, that's the truth. They will lose their identity. They will. But their identity becomes Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But again, that only is beautiful to your ears. It is only a beautiful understanding and a truth in your life when you believe in Jesus. Now that we know this, we believe this in our hearts, what do we do with it? Each and every one of us sit here, we come here regularly, we listen, we walk away, we feel vitalized for another week, we sing praises of worship, we know the gospel, we hear the gospel. We have plenty of preachers encourage us, show us, read the word to us. We encourage one another by what we've read, we hear, and we leave here, what do we do? Let's read the last part, the last half of Romans from 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You can't call on Jesus if you don't believe in him. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Who's they? People that don't believe. Do you believe?
Yes.
I believe. We believe? How do the people that don't believe believe? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, focus on this, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful. Do you remember when you responded to the gospel? What you heard, what was the message that was your saving grace, the thing that pricked your ear and said, yeah, who is this? This is amazing. Do you remember the time you responded to the gospel? It might have been someone speaking, but it might have been a time you were reading. It's not the audible word. that the ear hears. It is the belief that comes from hearing the word that is the hearing. It's more than just words. It has to be more than just words, because it says, how beautiful are the feet. The feet don't hear. The feet get you places. The feet are what move you. Every step you take, every move you make, the feet are what direct your direction. So how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. So yes, it's the words of the gospel. It's the declaration that Jesus is King and that he died for you and that he has saved you from your sin and there's nothing that you can do. But then it becomes action. The feet start to move. And this is called the Great Commission. Let's read Matthew 24:14 together. We've got Matthew 24:14. Okay, we believe. Are we disciples? We're disciples. We believe in Jesus. We have faith. He died for my sins. What do I do with that? Chapter 24:14. And this gospel, the good news of the kingdom, will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Hang on to that, and then the end will come. Let's read Matthew 28, 18 verse 20. Now, keep in mind, we believe in Jesus. We believe in the gospel. We believe in his word. Every word in this page, every way it's laid down, we believe in it. Don't we? Let's believe in this. What does this say? Chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them. Now, this is after Jesus had been hung on the cross, paid the price, said it was done, declared a beautiful thing like, forgive them, Father, they do not know what they do. All his disciples were there. They watched this happen. He's been resurrected on the third day. He's appeared to them and he said to the people that still believe in him, the people that realize it's Jesus and they believe in him, they've said this to him. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus, we believe in you. We believe that you are authority over everything. You saved us. You are God in the flesh. And God in the flesh says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the three in one, in all aspects of God, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Does that not inspire you? Jesus saved me, and he's given me something that I can do. You don't have to try and work, but now you've got something that you can work at. You see, he's so loving that he understands that these Jews that are so zealous for me think that they can do it on their own. I'm going to give them something to do. Tell people about me. You want works? There's your works. But it's because you know me, believe in me, because I've taken your heart of stone out, I've put in a heart of flesh, I've changed your whole life, I've made you a new creation, I've given you place and purpose. It's all about me. Go and tell people about me. You want works? as your works. You want something to do? You want something to do to be able to worship and serve the Lord, to prove that you are who you are in the Lord? Tell others about him, so that they too may have the opportunity to experience and know and come to an understanding of the glory of God and that what Jesus has done for the world. And if you do that every day, all the time, to the people you meet, the people you work with, the people you live next door to, if you do that, you will find your peace with God. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Verse 16. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? Did they not know? Did they not hear? Moses said, first, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. Do you know who they considered the foolish nation back then? The Gentiles. We notice too that we read there that there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. This is a beautiful thing to remember as we go out into our community, into our other people's lives that are different to us. Everybody needs to hear Christ. Amen. It doesn't matter where you come from, what clothes you wear, how much money you make, what house you live in. It doesn't matter who you are, Jew or Greek or Gentile, woman or man, slave or free. All these are from the word of God. There is no distinction. We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. Everybody deserves. Nothing. But everybody needs Jesus.
Amen.
It's not what they deserve. It's not because they don't do what's right with what they've got. It's too much bother. It's too much hassle. They know better. We've told them 50 times. They're not responding. The reason I say it like this is because we get this way, don't we? It's called persecution. It's called self-sacrifice. To the people that you think that aren't responding, do you remember when you responded? I'm sure the people that were talking to you might have felt the same way. This fella's not responding. Is it really touching their heart? I think about when I responded. I was in prison. I was far gone. People that really understood the gospel, believed in Jesus, they took the time out. I was a dangerous man. What am I in prison for? See, the people that truly believed in Jesus, they didn't care. They didn't care. They were that inspired and that invigorated and that zealous and that motivated by their belief in Christ, their love, and how much filthy, dirty, rotten sinners they are, and there's nothing that they can do. They understood that they're no different than me. And praise the Lord, these people God brought into my life, and I stand here today. So in our little community, in our lives, the people that we go and talk to, don't be disheartened. Walk in it, talk in it, live in it, preach the gospel. Let God do the rest. Let God do the rest. Finally, I just want to share one thing that inspires me to keep going. Right? And God, there's a beautiful message in this. Well, I know that I am a disciple. You are my disciples. We're followers. We follow Jesus. We're his children. We believe in him. This we are sure of. We know Jesus. We know him. He knows us. He says, you are my disciples. Go therefore and preach. This good news will be preached in all the inhabited earth to witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And my ears pricked up. The end? The end of what? All this sin, all the wickedness in the world. Now this is our hope. This is what we long for. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Read for me, Revelation 21:4. This is why we long for Jesus to come, because we've read the gospel, and in Revelation 21:4, we understand, we know, that times are going to be better. There's going to be a time that is done away with all the sin, all the wickedness. The power of the devil is gone. He has no more influence and control. Revelation 21:4. Revelation talks about locking the devil up. And when he has done it, this is what he says. This is the end of it. So this good news will be preached in all the inhabited earth for a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And this is what it's going to look like when the end comes. Revelation 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Do we not look forward to that? Is that not our hope, our inspiration, our drive to keep on going now as we look towards the future? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Think about all the things you've ever cried about. Death will be no more. Preach it. Let people know. Because he says that the good news will be preached and then the end will come. And when the end comes, that's what it's going to look like. If we desire that, if we truly believe in Jesus, we understand what he has done for us now. Share it to the world. Share it to everybody around us. Live in it with your feet. And look forward to a time that Revelation 21:4 says. Amen.
Amen.